Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery. And when we're talking about recovery, we're talking about recovering from religious abuse, any kind of abuse, alcoholism, sexual dysfunction, codependency. It's for everybody who has wounded themselves or for those who are also wounded. It's a very, very, very broad subject. And in America, there are a lot of people. I mean a lot of people who are wounded. Probably half the population. It's amazing to me sometimes, to be honest with you, when I think about it, that we are in such a very, very precarious situation. And yet, what can I say? It's tough, tough stuff. All right, I've got a friend who is holding, and I'm going to bring her on for a second. Stacy, this is Jack. How are you today? Are you on?
I am on.
Stacy?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, you know, today, I kind of go back and forth as far as the format of this and liking to have guests come on and tell me what is wrong with their lives so that we can kind of help them. And on the other hand, I like to tell people some of the things about recovery and to talk about it so that they can get the principles down. Now, having been in AA for nearly 20 years, it's hard for me to think that people don't know about recovery. But by and large, people don't. I mean, there are millions that are in it, and only some of them are doing really well because quite a few of them go, but they really don't do the things that they want and need to do. At any rate, as always, I'm going to start this out by reading a prayer that I've written. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is the value of making amends. And this is the prayer that I've written about this. And once I get finished with it, I'm going to ask you to just start making a few comments with me, if you would.
Certainly.
The title of the prayer, Making Amends. Father, I have wandered so far from you, from your ways, from your leading, from your purpose, and from your love. At first, it didn't seem like such a distance, but over time, I have come to realize my departure has been far greater than I could ever have imagined. I know I need to return to you, but now that I see the breach between us, the way back seems long and difficult. In my reaction to having been wounded, I have behaved in ways that have not only hurt me, but many others as well. I acknowledge this to you right now. I'm sorry for having wronged them, which I had no right to do. I can see how wayward I have become. As I begin my long journey back to wholeness, I know I need to make amends to those I've hurt along the way, some badly. It never occurred to me that I might have treated others in the way that I have been treated. Just thinking about my behavior and my attitude makes me feel ashamed, Father. I am so, so sorry for what I have done and said. Forgive me and restore me to those I have hurt. Most of all, restore my relationship with you. Help me learn from my egregious errors so that I may never feel the compulsion to drift so far from you again. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Stacy, we're talking about the value of making amends, and one of the things that I have noticed in evangelical Christianity is people will do somebody bad, and then they pray to God and say, "Forgive me for doing that," and then it's over and done. They don't take any time or any effort to go back to the person that they have wounded and offended and make it right. It's like, well, if God forgives me, that's all I need. And yet, it's like they forget the principle from the Lord's Prayer, is that, you know, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who who trespass against me. There's a reciprocity. It's almost like everything is vertical, and there's no responsibility horizontally. In other words, it's all directed towards God, because God doesn't usually say anything, verbally. So that it's almost like a little flip of the switch, and they're done without ever doing the really hard work. And I've seen that happen a lot. What do you think?
I agree 100%. And also, it's not scriptural, Jack. We're told if somebody has something against us that we're to leave the altar, not give our offering, but go make it right. God doesn't, we shut ourselves off from that close fellowship with Him when we do that, as well as with others.
You know, there's a principle that doesn't get talked about very often, does it?
No.
Have you ever heard a sermon about it?
I've heard many sermons about it, but only from selective preachers who are willing to take the risk to teach it. Most people want a fast food fix instead of doing the long, painful meal preparation. And that's just
what we get
fast food junk food instead of a satisfying, healthy meal for our souls.
Well, we have we have Burger King Christianity, where you can have it your way. But don't get crazy. I know that in my own life, when I have not made amends, I have not fared well. And you don't make amends so that you can be successful. That's not the reason for it. And when I say that I didn't do well, I'd say it's more emotional than anything else. You just can't not do it. I remember growing up, I was Roman Catholic, and I would go to confession on Saturday afternoon, which meant that I hated Saturday afternoon as a small child, I would go and I would say things and you'd get forgiven, but there really wasn't that leaving your gift at the altar and going and taking care of things. That just wasn't part of it. It wasn't really, it just wasn't there. And so you don't get the full value of growing up.
Yeah.
See, when you have to, for me, when you make amends, well, listen, I remember when, when I went into AA, I was divorced, and I remember, you know, having to go, I had to go talk to some women and just apologize to them for making an ass out of myself, and there's no other word for it. And I mean, and there were several of them. Actually, there were more than several. There were probably 8 or 10. And it was hard the first couple of times because I wasn't sure what the response would be. But after doing it a couple, you know, a while, it was not that hard because the response was generally very positive and affirming. I only had one person who just, you know, said, I don't ever want anything you do with you. Please don't ever contact me again. And, you know, and that was embarrassing. But at the same time, I had to do what I was supposed to do and give it a try. And I remember one of my daughters, when I was talking about some of this stuff, she said, oh, well, maybe that's why this Jimmy guy keeps calling me. He wrecked my car, you know, when we were in high school, and he was drunk, and he keeps calling, and he says he wants to talk to me. And you know, he says, I have no idea. I haven't seen him in years. So he probably just wants to make some kind of apology and amends about that. And I said, I bet you're right. And he ended up doing it. And I'm going to give another example, and then I'm going to let you talk for a few minutes. I was married to a woman who was very cruel to my 9-year-old daughter when we first got married, and I had hoped that would be a really good, healthy situation, but it was awful. Well, fast forward, you know, that was a relationship that did not survive, and she got breast cancer and was dying and wanted me to be a friend as she was, and I told her I would. This is my, you know, an ex-wife, and she said she wanted to make an amends to my daughter, who by this time was in graduate school at the University of Georgia. So that was 15 years earlier, or close to it. And Katie, my daughter, said, well, I don't want to talk to her. I don't ever want to have anything to do with her again. And I told her, I said, you know, she was in a graduate program in social work. And I told her, I said, you know, if you want to help people, you've got to be able to accept them for who they are and allow them to make an amends. I said, you know, if you don't, you don't really have anything to say. And, you know, she saw, she recognized that. She didn't want to do it. As it turned out, the woman, you know, got so sick that it didn't happen. And it was she ended up dying soon thereafter. But it was the willingness to want to do it at that particular point with them that was so important. But it's amazing also when life has passed and you know you're going to die imminently, how trivial some things become and how important the relationships that you have become. Yeah. How important it is to be at peace with people in your family, with people that, you know, from the past, from people that you've wronged and all the rest of it. What do you think?
I agree. And I have a situation in my family where my mother has been an abusive mother, and there's been a lot of pain between the two of us. She is in the final stages of Alzheimer's. And I've taken these last 4 years that I've cared for her, and I believe she's alive, so I could forgive her. And not just to forgive her, but to own my part of the problem and to make amends. If it wasn't for me taking care of her, there would be no one. I'm the only one left. And if she had died without this, it would have grieved me. And I would have chastised myself probably for the rest of my life. And there is a catharsis that comes.
Yes.
If you will walk through the process, and it's painful. But, oh, Jesus goes with us. And when we get to that other side, the reward is just, it's beyond words. But without making those amends, you don't get that. So the pain is worth walking through and knowing that you don't have to walk through it alone. And, you know, like with your daughter, sometimes you don't get to make amends. And then there, for me, there would always be in the back of my head, well, suppose I had done this. Suppose I had done that. I get another chance. I didn't give somebody else another chance. And there's all kinds of emotions that flood in. And it's so much easier if you will take the effort to walk through and make the amends. And isn't that what Jesus did for us? He humbled himself.
Yes. And if we're to be Christ-like, and if it's to be, you know, to have real value, then we have to do the same thing. I mean, that is the road. And, of course, it is the road less traveled, but it is also the road to maturity and to experiencing the fruit of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
That's where the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control come from. Comes from doing the things that are right, one after another, consistently. And when you don't, going back, redoing it, but just going boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. And once you do that over a long period of time, then all of a sudden you are a person with estimable character qualities instead of somebody who is just having to essentially, like we say in AA, fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Once you get to where you're doing these things, that, and it, I mean, it works. Now, I was in all of this, having scrupulous honesty is essential. It's so easy to, particularly when it comes to making amends, to just kind of gerrymander the truth so that it's like, well, it wasn't that bad. She knows that I didn't mean anything by that. He knows that it isn't any big deal. They've done it. I'm not the only one that's done stuff like that. Everybody's done that. You know, I don't need to, it's been a while. I don't need to go back. And nobody wants to dredge that up. Nobody wants to dredge that up. Well, you know, that's the key to peace, is to dredge up things that bother your conscience and your deep seat of equilibrium, to where it's when there's that disquietude in your spirit, it's really tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough. I had this woman, can't believe I'm saying this on radio, but I'm going to. This woman was in my small group, my Bible study small group, who just, she really wanted me to like her, and I didn't. I mean, I liked her as a person, but I was not interested in her as a, you know, as a potential girlfriend or romantically in any way, and she was me. And when that, you know, she kind of made an overture towards it, and I, you know, and I mean, I, you know, very clear that I wasn't interested in that in the least. Well, you know, she didn't care for that. And so she took it upon herself to really to a number on me with other people.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was nasty and awful. And, you know, if you aren't safe in a Bible study in a small group, where in the world are you going to be safe? Well, at any rate, it was, you know, so, and this kind of went off and on for quite a while. Well, a month ago, the woman was out of the blue diagnosed with brain cancer.
Oh, gee.
And is now in an assisted living place. I mean, she just like went. I mean, she just like fell off completely.
Oh, gee.
I was talking to a friend this afternoon and said, you know. Because I just like, well, you know, I don't, you know, I'm kind of glad to be done with that. And, you know, I mean, feel sorry for the woman. I don't, you know, I mean, I wouldn't wish anything, something like that on anybody. But, you know, it has been a while, several years. So I just didn't think, you know, but I was a little bothered by it this afternoon. And I was talking to one of my friends. And said, you know, maybe I need to go visit this woman. And she said, well, if you want to, said, but, you know, she doesn't recognize anybody anymore. She's past that. So even though I didn't have anything, I do not have anything that I needed to, you know, to get off my chest or anything, I thought, well, you know, maybe I should just at least say something to her, but you know that the time is gone, and there are times like that. And I know that, you know, when I was at the very initial stages of recovering from alcoholism, I went to counseling, and since my father was dead and I had many issues with him, all that I could do was they would enroll a pillow to be so that I would talk to my father like he was a pillow. Well, you know, a pillow is a pillow, and it isn't your father. And so you can get into situations finally where you really cannot do the things that are necessary for wholeness because people die. Or they move so far away, or they won't talk to you. So when you have the chance and the opportunity, my advice to the people who are listening is to just absolutely do it. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Do it. There's no, you know, well, I want to pray about it. Well, I want to do that. You know, do it. Just get going. Well, I'm not sure God really wants me to do this. He always wants us to make, you know, to reconnect with people that we have relationships with. He wants our relationships to be peaceful. We don't have to pray about those things. He always wants that.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, well, I need to pray about it. Does the Lord want me to steal this or not? Well, you know, you don't have to pray about that. He's crystal clear about it, and
exactly.
He's clear about so many of these things that, you know, that we don't need to pray about. It's just, it's black and white. Many things in life are not. Some of these things are black and white, and this is one of them. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%, and we're just lying to ourselves when we won't do it. We're being prideful. And the thing that's so important is you may not get another chance. You have to see
exactly
that moment.
Right.
And always, he will be there to walk through it with you. always. And you're right. It's now, not, there's no ambiguity. It's black and white.
Now, we have some resources for people that, that are going through these things. Is there anything that comes to your mind that if somebody wanted to go to the website that they would might like to take a look at that would be helpful that you can think of?
Absolutely. The Search for Significance, which teaches you who you are in the Lord, and the Search for Peace, which is about forgiveness, God's forgiveness, what forgiveness means in God's economy. And it's not what we think it is. And if we can grasp those two things, it will make a huge difference in not only our relationships with others, but our relationship with God.
All right, now tell people how they can find these things because, you know, they aren't. You can't like go to a bookstore and get this stuff. It's not readily available. You probably get some of it on Amazon, but let's give them the website so that they know what where to go if they want it. And just by the way, if people who are listening, you know, we're not just trying to schlock out books here. This is these are things that can help you, and you know. Use them if you want. If you don't, it's just fine. We're going to be here whether you buy them or not. And so, you know, this is not our attempt to just make money, although obviously we want to, but it's to help you, and that is the motivation for, you know, for this radio program. Go ahead. What is the web address, Stacey?
It's www.mcgeepublishing.com. That's
M-C-G-E-E.
And our phone number is 800-460-4673. We also have a wonderful book called Untangling Relationships, which helps put codependency into the proper perspective. And these
All
are
right,
life-changing books.
Tell the 800 number one more time.
It's 800-460-4673.
All right. When we're talking about people and their relationships and trying to figure out how to make things work, is there anything that has just come to your mind? Any Bible verse that that is germane to this topic today? Because we're kind of winding down. Time-wise, and I'm just wondering I'm sure that after all that I've said here, there's something that will come to your mind specifically.
Certainly. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is no greater rest than when you allow God to work through your life and move into a different realm and have it affect your relationship with others. It's not just words that are coming out of your mouth. It's actions that are coming out of your soul.
Here's the verse that I think about. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And
Amen.
If you don't make amends with people, if you just hide things, you're not walking in the light. You're not walking in the light, then, boy, you're not walking with the Lord. It just doesn't happen. And you can't make things happen when you're in the darkness. You stumble over things all the time. If you want wisdom, it's the pure in heart that see God, that see what God is doing, that see God in things. But you got to be pure in heart. If you're not pure in heart, by not making amends with people and things like that, you're in trouble. We're out of time, and I want to thank you, Stacey, for coming on the program with me, and I want to thank all of you and just say God bless you, and Have a great day. Bye-bye.